making, making payments or saving, so more fees are taken. Every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. It is the second half of the Monday Financial Power Block following Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew. And that is your weekly look at trading the markets, whether it be Forex, crypto, stocks, or who knows what else.
Beanie Babies. Trade everything, yeah, Beanie Babies.
Yep. They can make money on it, they'll trade it. Anyway, but now it's time for the Henry Rain Show. That's your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. And what happened this week? Well, apparently the Internal Revenue Service has sent out a new batch of audit notices, and we have just the guest to help you sort through that line. I think I'm mixing my metaphors if I say sort through that landmine. Navigate through those landmines of the IRS is dropping from the sky. I mixed those metaphors again. Anyway, Coinbase Pro and cryptocurrency futures and options exchange Deribit experienced flash crashes. How did they respond? Quite a difference in how both of them responded to their customers. Crypto derivatives exchange BitMEX is implementing major changes to the weights of its indices later this month. We've talked about how they use Kraken, Bitstamp, and Coinbase Pro. Well, we'll tell you those changes and how it's going to affect BitMEX and who knows what else in the market. Researchers have escalated their claims about market manipulation in the winter of 2017. Remember when Bitcoin went to 290,000? Now claiming that a single whale was responsible for Bitcoin's historic price surge. I'm skeptic, but we'll take a look at it.
A single whale for the surge?
Yes. Well, we will get to that. Yeah. It's really a consumer protection, taxation, security, and all things like that.
It's a whale of a theory.
It's a whale of a show is what it is right now. And the voice you hear.
And welcome to the Henry Rain Show.
And he's not conditioned like some kind of Pavlov's dog to wait for the music to talk.
He jumps right in.
He's his own man.
And thank you, DJ, I have to say.
Oh, that's right. I'll let you describe that, but thank you, DJ.
Yeah, thank you, DJ. I got a sore
California?
Knee. Yeah, he's in California. Yeah. And he sent us some hemp bombs. But they're not hemp bombs. It's actually it's
to get rid of pain in your joints and your
CBD
muscles.
Pain freeze. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to try this later tonight.
Yeah, because all those workouts you're doing, and
can get my dog to rub it on me. That'd be nice.
Well, I'm glad you got somebody. Anyway, let's go. Speaking of somebody with somebody, here's somebody that doesn't have to go looking for somebody because he's got all the somebodies he wants. So you might say, who goes looking for the tax man? Well, if the tax man's looking after you, you need your own tax man. That's Josh Sands, frequent guest here on the Henry Rain Show, and the crypto tax man. Hi, Josh.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good afternoon. Hey, how's the baby doing? Give us a baby update.
She's doing good. She's 1 month old today.
Woo.
Driving yet?
Oh, yeah, she's getting there.
Okay.
You know, you got to get them on solid foods as soon as they can open their mouths.
That's the goal.
These doctors today, they want you to feed baby food for the first 2 years. And you're like, really? Come on.
Well, I think
2 years, yeah, I don't know about that one.
I think there's a sweet spot between 2 years and when they can first open their mouth.
Yeah, well, with Gator, my grandson, you know, of course,
if your name is Gator, you ought to be eating hard food.
You know, my daughter-in-law's like, oh, you can't, you know. But we get him 3-4 days a week. So as soon as he could prop his head up, we were down at the pizza place, and I was feeding him pasta. And he just had that biggest smile on his face. And the doctor caught on that something was up, that he wasn't on baby food, because he had a full set of teeth in like 8 months. The doctor's going, are you feeding this kid something more than baby food? Yeah, long story short. But you got to feed them food. That's how we grew up.
Well, I totally believe that, just like I believe that one whale called the $20,000 run in 2017. But Josh Sands is with us. He's a crypto tax specialist. The website is cryptotaxman.us at facebook.com/cryptotaxman. But then you have to be careful with your keyboard when you go to Twitter or Instagram, because it's crypto_tax_man. Same thing for Twitter or Instagram. Website, you can just do Crypto Tax Man. Facebook, you can do Crypto Tax Man. But just because he has that difficult streak to him, he had to do the underscore on Twitter and Instagram.
Well, you know, Josh and I, we saw each other up at the Jungle Gardens. And there's always that destiny in course. So if your daughter ever comes home and goes, "Dad, I got a boyfriend," and you go, "What's his name?" "Gator." You know, oh my God. It's
What other attraction are you going to take Gator to than Jungle Gardens? Swamp World.
We're going to Lowry Zoo this weekend. We love taking them places. I just, you know, hey, being a grandparent is better than being a parent, because you can spoil the hell out of them.
All right.
So, anyways. But congratulations to you and your wife, Josh.
They eat smaller portions than your regular children, too. Sorry,
yes,
Josh.
Yes.
That's what our grandparents are doing right now. She was spoiled before she was born.
Yep. Well, you know, they say, you know, you raise your children, strict with your children, and spoil your grandchildren, because if you spoil your children, you'll be raising your grandchildren.
You could adopt me as your grandchild.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know.
All right, let's get into stuff here. As much as
there's light stuff going on here.
All the downloads that have shown up since the Henry Maine Show got put on SeekingCryptos.com, as well as the regular Podomatic sites and Apple Podcasts and all that other stuff that you can Google and you can find it. But the simplest thing to get both shows that
right next to each other
are live here on Monday, but soon after are online at SeekingCryptos.com, Talking Markets, Mark and Andrew, Henry Maine Show, both there. And the Great Firewall in China is still blown. I checked your stats, too. And, I mean, all over. You're in Russia. I'm in Russia. We're behind the old Iron Curtain. But we aren't behind the Great Firewall in China. And back when I was doing the morning dry show here at American AM, that was my biggest foreign country for downloads. I mean,
really?
I was getting like 80 a day or something over there. That was way back when that was. What happened? Anyway, that was before they closed us all off to Bitcoin and information. We have Josh with the information about the IRS, and according to an article I was just seeing today, a source within the Internal Revenue Service has apparently confirmed, I don't know how you apparently confirm or you don't, the tax collection agency plans to, you know, journalism is just dying. Forget about fake news, fake journalists. It has apparently confirmed the tax collection agency plans to send out a new batch of audit notices. The notices will be a follow-up to the 10,000 letters sent out in August. And we're reminding you here that a new checkbox has appeared on the 1040 form requiring individuals to disclose whether they received, sent, or exchanged any cryptocurrency since 2013.
Oh, my God.
The IRS confirmed as well that failure to answer this question honestly would have criminal repercussions. Many were shocked at the risk. As reported by Crypto Tax Girl on Twitter. Now, is that any relation to you, Crypto Tax Man?
It is not, but she's got a pretty good following on Twitter.
Okay. Judith, this is her quoting, Judith McNamara of the IRS has confirmed that based on new data, in quotes, the agency will be sending out more audit notices. It's currently unclear whether every individual who received a letter in August will also be receiving an audit notice, and... Well, let's go to someone who has actually seen the original notices from clients and see, have any of your clients gotten a follow-up audit notice?
I have one, actually, that I just recently talked to about that's going through the audit process with the IRS agent. And, I mean, really, he's not too concerned because, first, the IRS agent himself was telling him that this is a learning process for them. And the particular client that I'm speaking of did a ton of mining, and they're not very familiar with the whole mining process.
That's how they try. That's the good cop stuff. Wait till the bad cop comes.
We're just getting used to this, but...
So tell us, help me a little more. I'm trying to understand.
Yeah.
I've been having this
almost 50
stuff.
A day, 50 Bitcoin a day.
Yeah.
But, as long as you're... you know, disclosing what you've mined or traded, you really have nothing to worry about.
But that's a good point to disclose.
In essence, for some people, they're going to kind of do. They're just doing spot checks with some people just to make sure everything.
And you might want to speak to a crypto tax man before you ever get to the stress part and find out just where you stand on some stuff.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I've dealt with the IRS before, and they're actually. I had a good, very good experience with them because I owed money.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, very, oh, no, you know, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, we'll get everything straightened out.
Yeah, they'll make payment arrangements.
Yeah, you know, just as long as you you're communicating with them. It's when you ignore them.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you're a really good fish to fry.
Yeah, or you're a big fish to fry, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm prefacing because I've actually scheduled a time actually to talk for both of us with Josh. I'm not spilling your guts on the...
No, that's fine.
This Wednesday. Just not to talk about radio, but just to try and talk about... I know what my personal questions are.
Yes.
And you can pass on anything.
And mine too, yeah. And just as a guide out there, you know, even though I have an accountant and stuff that I use and that, but he's not as versed in crypto taxes. And so I want an expert.
Right.
And when I want that expert in crypto taxes, I go to Josh.
Right.
And you should, too. And honestly, I mean, you want somebody that understands the
okay. We've come to him. Now it's about us.
Okay.
It's about us. So this is sort of like, I feel, you know, it's a little bit like Match.com. I've made the contact now,
okay.
And we're arranging to have the actual audio conversation here. And so... You know, I'm going to talk to Josh, and he's going to tell me about stuff, about what he does regarding his profession. And then I would assume that, the potential client comes to see you. Is that's right so far after initial phone call, I would think? Or is it all done remotely?
It's all done remotely. I've never actually met with a client physically, in person.
Well, you're going to be the first one.
Well, clean up the living room. Come on over there.
Have the natural light out, handy light out.
I'm more than willing to meet in person. It's just, you know, most of my clients are, you know, live in different states or other towns.
Okay. All right. So, well, whether it's virtual or in person, after I want to take the relationship to the next step, Josh. What do I do to prepare for you?
Actually, there's one thing I do have to send you. It's basically a questionnaire that I'm going to have you fill out. It'll be through Google Sheets, so you just do it online, and then I'll get your responses. So that's basically going to give me an idea of what your situation looks like.
That's a mess.
So I kind of know where to start this conversation.
Okay, so
sit down.
Now, but you have – I don't have to – on this thing I want to fill out, I'm not manually doing all my transactions on that before I talk to you, am I?
No, it's just going to give me an idea of how many exchanges you've traded on. Have you done any mining? Have you received any forks, airdrops, et cetera?
And then you are going to tell me, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but, you know, I only deal on U.S. exchanges, so I got Kraken and I got Coinbase Pro and Coinbase. You're going to tell me, you know, where to pull reports off of there. And that's how you're going to get the computations from their reports, right?
It's completely up to the client if they want to get them themselves. But I, 100% like to do a screen share so I can direct them where to go because a lot of times
even better.
Reports.
Yeah.
So because
like Coinbase,
you
can run a ton of different reports on Coinbase, and I want to make sure I get the right ones the first time. Just saves a lot of time on both ends.
So, let me get I think this is going to be a common situation for some people, but it's also very specific to me. So, I can put my money from my bank on and off Coinbase through the regular Coinbase on the ACH. But when I move money to Coinbase Pro, I just transfer from Coinbase.com to CoinbasePro.com. And I do my trade on CoinbasePro.com because even though they raised their fees to 0.5%, it's still
everybody else in the world is going
to
zero. Coinbase is jacking it up.
It's a lot less than what they charge on Coinbase.com. So then I make my trade and then I move back into the stored or held, whatever Coinbase.com does, there. And so all my actual transactions are done on Coinbase Pro, except for what happens on Kraken. But the back and forth of my money is happening on Coinbase.com. I think that would probably be common for some people.
Yeah, pretty common.
So,
I mean, normally I'm going to get reports from both just to make sure that we're not missing anything.
Okay.
Because it is separate reports from, you know, Coinbase and Coinbase Pro.
Okay. All right. So that's one situation that he can help you with. And I'm sure you do something similar on Kraken. Kraken, I have to...
Yeah, I mean, usually I'm going to, like, if the client's comfortable with me doing this, we'll do screen share, and I'll have them open up their exchanges, and I'll actually pull all the reports for them. I do have clients where they've traded on like 15 exchanges, and you know we've had a relationship for you know a couple of years now, and they'll be doing something completely different while I'm getting all the reports for them.
Okay. Now, I mean, have you haven't seen the 2019 1040 yet, have you, or have you?
It's a draft.
Okay.
So I've seen the question that they.
And then the cryptocurrency question is on the 1040.
Yeah.
Okay, but then you're going to have a special schedule that you prepare to come up with your gain or loss.
Yeah, that goes on the 8949, and then you report the you know the totals on your.
Now, is that the same form you use for stock trades?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's going to be similar, but you don't combine on the same form the stock trades and the crypto.
Yeah, you can. That's not an issue.
Can you not?
No, you should. Actually, you should. It would just make it easier.
Okay.
So unless you want to fill out separate forms to separate, like, crypto from stock. But, I mean, based on the description, like the description column that you fill out, they're going to know what your
okay.
Asset is.
I know this is sounding a little bit me specific on this, but I think it's done the same way for pretty much everybody else, too. So, but... If I want to have an advance notice, like if we do the screen sharing before the end of the year so I can see what I'm actually the number is on crypto, then because you really aren't going to be able to download from TD Ameritrade or Merrill Lynch my information then until you know January 1st at least, if not just after that.
Yeah, you're not going to get your 1099s from them until, you know, like the third quarter of the year. But just what I'm doing with clients actually right now is, you know, we're getting an idea of where they stand for the year. And then also we're doing, you know, tax harvesting to make sure that we can, if we can offset gains in any way right now.
Okay. So now, am I correct but that's pretty much where you stop? You don't actually prepare the tax return?
Yep. So then they'll pass. I have a CPA that I, you know, use if somebody doesn't have a CPA or if they just do it themselves on, you know, TurboTax. I prepare all the data. I give them recommended trades for tax harvesting, and that's my job.
So TurboTax, though, will just import the stuff from the TD Ameritrade, Merrill Lynch, E-Trade, whatever it is.
You can import, depending on the type of software that's being used, as long as you can download TurboTax's format from that software. You can import from them too, but you're limited to, I think it's I'll have to check again. I can't remember. I think it's 2,000 transactions on TurboTax.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be good on that. I'm somewhere south of 2,000 transactions. I don't know about any.
Oh, yeah, I don't have that many.
Okay. All right. So let's get back into some of the stuff. Since the last time we talked to you, we could certainly review how they're going to treat hard forks, how they're treating airdrops, and things like that. But since you talked to us a month ago, have you come across any new developments?
No, I wouldn't. Nothing new.
Okay.
You mean that's been released from the IRS?
Yeah, anything that you... that we haven't talked about in the last couple. I mean, Josh comes on about once a month to keep us up to date on this stuff, so I don't know that anything happened in the last month.
I mean, I haven't seen any new information released by the IRS. There needs to be, I think, some more clarity and maybe some more rules around airdrops and forks, because it doesn't. Basically, what they've given us isn't, I think, the best ruling for how to treat them, how to treat both.
Okay.
Because I think we mentioned this last time. Because I mean, you may be receiving airdrops, you don't even know about it, and there may not even be a market to trade those. So, how are you going to pay tax on something that you can't even take possession of yourself, or actually cash out? You know.
Yeah. So you know, because you know, that's a good question. Because I look on Binance. And I got coins on there. I'm just like, where do these come from?
Exactly. People get them and they don't even know about it half the time.
Yeah, you
know,
have...
if you do get them, you know, you may not be able to trade them anywhere.
Yeah.
See, I don't have to worry with Kraken and Coinbase because they're not going to give you anything.
No. They don't have to.
But what I did do is I had a Jax wallet on my phone that I'd never used, but after Josh's last time on, I was like, well, I better check this. Luckily, nothing was in there.
Yeah.
And I deleted it, and I guess it's still out there somewhere in the ether. But
there's no link to you.
I guess not. I don't know, because those wallets exist forever.
Yeah.
But
I haven't been able to find a way to, like, clients have wanted to shut down or close accounts, and we've even emailed, you know, customer support at many exchanges, and they don't close them.
You know, you might have my Ether wallet, which...
You'll lose access to some of them, but they won't actually officially close them.
Yeah. But you can still pay tax on them even if you don't have access.
Well, Poloniex sent me an email and said, we are closing your account.
Well, that's right, because they're... we talked about it on a show or two ago about Circle.
Yeah.
And, well, that's a whole discussion. Okay, but Binance then, so people should know, if you got any miscellaneous wallets that you have forgotten about over the last couple of years, think about if you have them, check that out. If you on Binance or some of these other ones, see, I wouldn't know that Binance, you would have so many things on Binance because you don't have an individual wallet.
They just put all kinds of stuff in there. Yeah, I'm like, where did this coin come from? You know, it's, a lot of times it's just, you know, 2-10 coins that are trading at 2 cents. You're like, really?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's like minimal stuff.
But there's
a
ton of them.
Yeah, but it was, but and this is where Josh was telling us last time around. Yeah, you look at it now, it's 2 cents, but when it hit your wallet, it was $10.
Yeah.
And so what's his situation now? What's he going to do?
I mean, in my opinion, and I think this is probably, you know, across the board with people that do what I do, is like, other than mining, I mean, airdrops, forks, in my opinion, they should be taxed at the time of sale. The only benefit that you would get out of this over paying the taxes income is if you held on to it for a year, you'd be paying a little bit less tax over the long
term. So they're taxing it like a dividend almost.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things that I think should be. But the IRS doesn't necessarily. So what does the IRS say? They say he's got to pay taxes as though he got...
As soon as it hits my wallet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, it's ridiculous because how can you pay tax on
something? Well, you can be the test case.
It's something I didn't want.
Yeah.
I didn't want that coin.
You probably never even knew you had when you got it.
No. Bitcoin, Black
Diamond. I think there's still a lot of work to be done. In regards to specifics around some of these.
So let's just put some parentheses around this. If you haven't even thought about this until now when you're hearing it, you need to think about it. And you probably want to speak with someone like Josh or someone else that you know, but at least you've heard Josh on the air, and you can go to CryptoTaxMan.us. He's on Facebook, CryptoTaxMan. Twitter, Instagram, it's crypto_tax_man. And is there any phone number you want to give out, or just contact you through the online presence?
Yeah, I mean, I have Facebook Messenger on my website and obviously on my Facebook page. But I also have my phone number on my website, too.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, it's an interesting thing, because I got some coins, and you get 3/4 of a coin, and just like, he says, let's say it's $10 when they issue it, so it's $7.50. But you can't even sell the damn thing at a loss because you don't have enough to sell.
Yeah.
Well, that's even say you can. Say, I mean, this would be rare. I don't think there's that many that have been at $10 and went down to $2 that are going to be in your Binance account.
No, doubt it.
But if you have a thousand on arrival, you know, if according to the IRS, it's $1,000, $1,000, $1,000, $1,000. Well, if you don't have anything else to any gains to apply it to, you know, if you got more than $3,000 of write-offs, I mean, because you can say you lost everything on up to $3,000. Otherwise, you got to carry it over to the next tax year.
Yep. So that's why there's some changes that still need to be made.
Yeah, I'm sure our Congress will take care of that.
Oh, yeah. They understand blockchain.
And then just a little tip for people that are mining. Typically, I mean, that is fair game. Is like you should be taxed at the time of receipt of any coins that you're mining. But we've come across some issues where they haven't cashed out enough to pay it, like, and they lost a lot of money on the original value that was mined. So I always suggest if you're mining, the original amount that you're receiving, at least sell off enough to pay your taxes on it. Because if those coins tank, you're kind of screwed.
Now, the question on the 1040 is, have you done this, any of these things, since 2013? When you get past that question after you ask yes because you did it this year, is there another layer of questions that wants to know what you did each year?
Not that I saw.
No, okay. They just want you in the database.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, they want to know if you've had anything, literally if you've done anything with crypto.
Of course
you had.
I checked no.
So. I don't even know what it is. Okay.
Crypto what?
Josh, thank you for coming on today. If you want to stick around after the break to talk about news, you're more than welcome to. But we're going to go to a break and then come back on the other side, and we'll hit the news of the week. Are you staying or do you have to go?
I can stick around.
Okay. All right. We're going to go to a break, and on the other side, we will get Josh's insight as well as Andy on what's coming up next with some unusual news in crypto this week.
There's unusual news in crypto?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Super big surprise. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Rain Show.
It's on the way out. It's on the way out. It's on the way out.
And, yes, it is on the way up. At least it was on the way up earlier this afternoon. In the studio here on the Henry Rain Show, I've got Andy, a.k.a. Andrew of Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew, that comes on at 4:05 every Monday and covers trading in all things marketplace. And on the line, the phone line, we have crypto tax man Josh Sands, and he's going to stick around and give some insight on some of these news stories beyond just the tax aspects. And you can always contact him at CryptoTaxMan.us. Before I go into the what is the first prepared news story. Where are we on Bitcoin?
93.95.
Okay, so we're really getting back close to where we were before we went on the radio.
Actually, 93.95 is a 9400 area is a shorter term time frame as a technical support. So we'll see what it happens. But that move was nice. 96. You know.
You're encouraged.
I've been encouraged ever since I saw that large move. You know, a week ago.
Where it went like 7,200, 8,400,
10,500. Yeah.
I mean, actually, stopped at 9,400 on the way.
Yeah, 10. Kind of hesitated there.
And did you issue any trade signals on this going into the last few days?
Yeah. Friday we put out a trade signal and trigger today.
SeekingCryptos.com. That's right. All right. Well, and I guess. What about dollar cost averaging? That really isn't the specialty of Seeking Cryptos, but.
Dollar cost averaging. Yeah, if you're dollar cost averaging.
Because you did some kind of study on that.
Yeah, if you would have bought starting in at the peak, at the worst time to buy in 2017, if you would have started buying then and bought all the. Throughout the whole noise on the 1st and 15th of every month, your average cost would be $6,200 or something like that.
Right. No, it's not bad.
No. So, long term is definitely the way to go with this type of stuff. And trying to time every move in the market, you end up missing on the big moves.
And just to take it back to the tax side one more time for Josh. So, if someone has a favorable cost base, or rather fee schedule on the exchange they're using, and they want to just do 100 or 200 a week, that's really no big deal to keep track of the cost basis with the software you have, right?
No.
Okay.
I mean, we're taking cost basis from every exchange you're using, and we're aggregating it anyways. So we may be using a cost basis from one exchange to match up with a sale from another.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and see what's in the news this week.
What's in the news this week, Henry?
Well, some Coinbase Pro and maybe a few Deribit customers were wondering if the story rang true. I don't know why they named it that. Cryptocurrency futures and option exchange Deribit, or Deribit, I've never talked to a live person that actually knew what the business was called. But Deribit, anyway, that if you're a U.S. client, you get blocked out when you try and go on there anyway to become a client. But it is based in Europe. It's a cryptocurrency futures and options exchange, as I said, and it's Bitcoin, been Bitcoin for quite a while. Ether recently, they added that, and it's gained a lot more client base and liquidity as people have left BitMEX. We've talked about in previous shows the mass liquidations, and you don't even have to have the wrong position. You're just caught up with
everybody else
when they scoop it out to make sure that they don't lose anything. Yeah. So. Anyway, as I was saying, Deribit says it will use its own money to refund users affected by an exchange rate miscalculation in their flash crash. In a tweet on November 1st, and I have to say, although this sounds good, they were a little reluctant at first, but they did the right thing, which is the important thing. Deribit recognized its role in the error, which occurred on Thursday and resulted in Bitcoin trading at around $7,700. The Deribit crash was caused by an outlier value. This, in turn, caused traders to be paid at a lower price for Bitcoin sales, with Deribit calculating the losses at $1.3 million for the clients. Well, what are you going to do about that? Well, they are going to reimburse over $1.3 million in losses.
A whopping $1.3 million.
Well, that's how much was lost.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I said the gain from BitMEX. They didn't get where they can lose $150 million.
And do one of those clawbacks.
Yeah. In losses from the Bitcoin index calculation, the exchange added a derivative insurance fund will not be used to cover these losses, but compensation will be covered by a derivative, which means they must be making a lot of money. If they're not going to tap the insurance fund.
Well, we don't even have to tap it. We're just going to pull it out of the pocket.
Yeah. You guys just keep making those trades. Everything's going to be fine. Anyway, an outlier that should have been excluded from the index, therefore, is refunded by the firm. So they looked at how it happened, and their algorithm should have excluded that. And, they're making good. Now, Coinbase, coincidentally, doesn't seem to have any... actually, it could have had something to do with it because it was very coincidental. And if you're talking about an outlier, Well, this was an outlier. At the same time as Deribit, Coinbase Pro, the high-volume trading arm of the U.S. exchange Coinbase, appeared to encounter problems. According to various accounts included by well-known trader Jacob Canfield, you know old Jake,
oh, yeah,
the exchange began automatically canceling swaths of orders on Thursday. Coinbase described Coinbase Pro's order book as having glitched out with an official response still to surface. So that was back last week. They haven't given an official response yet. They just canceled people's stop-loss orders, which probably worked to the betterment of their customers, really, because if it was running down to 7,200, it's going to take out a lot of stops, and you know, evidently in their wisdom, they thought it would come back and protect people. It does raise some questions.
So that was that flash crash when we went from like 78 to or 83 to.
No, this was just last Thursday when we were already back in the 9,000s.
Oh, I didn't see it go that long.
Well, you probably weren't looking at Coinbase Pro when it happened.
Mm.
So they, I mean, it didn't last long. But you got to figure that if Deribit was using that as part of their index, and that could have been the outlier that caused the cascade. And on the other hand, to give Coinbase credit, if that's what happens with these things, and they realize that if they don't pull the plug on everybody's stop-loss order,
cascades.
Yeah, it's going to be a much bigger
domino
problem.
Effect.
Yeah. But on the other hand, what gives you the right to pull my stop-loss order? So what's your take on this, Josh?
Actually, how are most of these weighted, the indexes?
Well,
are they price or market cap?
We are going to get into that in the very next story, but yeah, go ahead and think, think out loud about your thoughts on that.
Well, that's what I was thinking is depending on which way they're weighted would have a pretty big impact on a flash crash like that.
Okay. Even though I have a friend that is on Deribit and Deribit, whatever, that. So I have familiarity.
I keep having these Zoolander flashbacks. Derelict.
I do have familiarity with that exchange. You can't, like I said, if you.
So it was an ETF that was their index that crashed, had a flash crash.
With Deribit, it looks like it was on their. The index is used both on the futures side. They have a futures and an options market both.
Okay.
So evidently the index is used to calculate.
So if you're on the right side of the trade, you're kind of upset because you didn't get your.
Yeah, you should be happy that you won't be on the wrong side of something like that. Hopefully, if it happens again, and hopefully they fix that. But it's not like BitMEX where $150 million was liquidated on the way down 2 weeks ago.
$250 on the way up.
Yeah, I know. It was $200 on the way down, $150 on the way up. Then it took out a few more on it because that was a three-step up. So, and Josh, on that particular show, Andy and I went over that. So, and I pulled the information right off the BitMEX website. As of 2 weeks ago, and we're about to tell you about the changes, it was Coinbase Pro, Kraken, and Bitstamp. And the point I had been making is that Coinbase Pro is hard to manipulate, as in, like, dumping $1 million on there and just
wiping it out.
Yeah, selling it.
It's hard to wipe the book out there.
And Kraken is actually the smallest of the three. I checked the trading volume and just round numbers, daily trading volume at Coinbase that particular time was $400 million, Bitstamp $200+ million, and Kraken $80 million. So you would really draw attention to yourself if you tried to drop $1 million on Kraken. But Bitstamp is, I believe, Luxembourg. And I put forth the idea that I don't think they have as tight a controls of money going in, or they don't impose as tight controls money going in and out of that exchange because it's beneficial to them, and they're not going to answer to the U.S. Congress, and Luxembourg is a rather small government, and they probably have all the influence they need on there. So the way you would work that, and hypothetically, is if you're a Bitcoin whale, and you know you got hundreds of millions of dollars of Bitcoin, and you want hundreds of millions of dollars more Bitcoin, say you just take $2 million and you place the million just into your account on BitMEX, subtly, get your positions where you want them on the long side, and then you take your other million and you dump it with just sell market sell orders all the way through the $1 million on Bitstamp. Mm-hmm. You're not gonna, it's not gonna go to zero probably. You should probably, you might lose 20 or 30% of your money over there, but in the meantime, as
you're 100 to 1 on BitMEX. Yeah,
yeah. Because the you're 100 to 1 on the million over at BitMEX, and you're already on the right side of all these trades because you're the one causing the thing to fall apart. That's like wash, repeat, resent. wash, rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons.
Or you're BitMEX themselves, and you see, oh, wow, everyone's loaded to the short side. Let me go over on Bitstamp and throw $2 million in the market. And just squeeze everybody out.
They wouldn't do that.
No. Legitimate company down there.
Yeah. But I wouldn't even do that.
I would. I'm not going to lie. If I had that kind of bankroll, I'd be manipulating. You know, hey, when I'm at the poker table and I'm up, you know, and I'm up there about $1,200 at the 1-2 table, I'm pushing. I am just, you know, I'm making everybody painful. They hate me.
But that's another reason why. Yeah, you know, when on the drop a couple weeks ago, I was willing to go to cash with profit because, and coming back in very slowly, I had to be convinced again because we're still at a point with slow volume that, you know, this, you could get suckered on this again too. So anyway, but BitMEX, because they are the upstanding businessmen,
yes,
that they've decided to reallocate the index. And it's interesting how this is portrayed in the story, because the reality is going to be a little bit different, and Andy's going to have to be the eyes for the audience, because Josh is out of the studio, when I actually show graphically how this is laid out. But anyway, crypto derivatives exchange BitMEX is implementing major changes to the weights of its indices later this month, according to an announcement. The exchange says the update is a bid to ensure that users trade against a reference price that more closely, and whoever's calling in is going to have to wait till I take a breath on this story, more closely reflects the market consensus price of underlying assets. With the new indices,
oh, lighten them up,
set to go live on November 22nd, I've got that.
You're live.
Your phone?
No.
What is that?
It's the bat phone. it's still going.
You're live on the air.
Henry Augie.
Stand by. Sorry. Oh. Sorry, Augie, it dropped. But call back after the story.
Anyway. Man, two callers, man. I had two of them.
I tried to move it back to the hole, and I lost.
It's like fishing, and you get two on the same one?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's like if you're like fishing with your 30-year-old fishing pole, it's like that. All right, so they got the new weighting coming out. It's set to go live on 22nd, and they're saying we're adding three more exchanges to the index, you know, more diversity to go with the other six. And the existing ones, according to this press release, are Binance, Bitstamp, Bittrex, Coinbase, Kraken, and Poloniex. All right, well, Poloniex, now that all the U.S. customers are out, it's going to be a little bit lower volume. Kraken, we already said, is a low volume. Binance is big volume. Bitstamp, we've already covered that. Coinbase, we've covered that. Bittrex,
why
I don't know where.
Why not Bitfinex and Huobi?
Well, don't jump ahead.
Oh, okay.
The new three will include Huobi, Gemini, and Itbit.
Itbit.
And BitMEX claims that weighting the indices proportionally is...
it's like... You know, the party lines back in the day.
I just for anybody listening, especially who might be listening on hold, I'm running the board I'm attacking the story and trying to present this. So there is nobody to grab that phone line right now.
But they don't care.
Yeah.
Hey, there's demand.
Okay. Anyway, Wabi Gemini Itbit being added to it. BitMEX claims that weighting the indices proportionally to exchange trade volume data will ensure... Hang on.
What the hell?
If we are possessed in the studio.
Yes. Okay, back to Wabi.
I'm not going to be able to fix this in post-production.
No.
I don't have that much time. It explains the way... all right, we don't do that.
How come all the lights are lighting now?
Because I did that.
Oh.
I said... genially. Anyway, there's a quote from BitMEX about how great they are and how conscientious they are about it. What the notable is the new change is the fact that Wabi will get a weight for 7 out of the 9, will get weight for 7 out of the 9 indices. So there's a whole bunch of indices. One of the things I wanted to point out about Wabi, you know, there's the 10 real volume exchanges. Wabi isn't one of them. They were left off the 10 lists that you
tried. Yeah, but I think they're coming in the United States.
I don't think Itbit was on it either.
No.
Binance, I think, was a legit one, and, of course, the U.S. ones.
I can't help but keep smelling this stuff. This is good stuff, yeah.
Just put the straw away. Getting stressed out enough here. So what I want to do is...
Making the lights come on.
I think I'm just going to edit Josh's segment into its own show so that his professionalism doesn't get dragged into this. like he was...
I mean, it looks like your WKRP in Cincinnati with all the phone lines lit up like that.
All right. So what I'm showing Andy here is a grid. And we and reviewing what BitFinex says, we got 6 and we're adding 3 more on November 22nd. And we got all these ones. Well, they've got all these indices, and the main one, the Bitcoin index, is this one at the top of the grid, BXBT. And when you work your way across, for the current state as we speak today, there's Bitstamp, Coinbase, and Kraken, all weighted at 33%. Just like I said before and during this announcement by BitConnect, that they're making everything equal and balanced out. And if you look there, you'll see that Bitstamp gets weighted 33% of the index, Coinbase 33%, and Kraken 33%, even though Kraken only represents about a sixth of the volume.
Yeah.
And Bitstamp only represents about, Bitstamp may be actually be represented well, and Coinbase is underrepresented. Mm-hmm. So the high volume Coinbase and is underrepresented. Kraken's overrepresented, which puts the Bitstamp as the one where you want to make your move on BitFinex. And then all these other ones that they say, oh, we got Binance, they're all on these secondary and tertiary and quaternary indexes that nobody wants to trade. So they don't really have all this diversity. They got the same thing that has allowed people to be liquidated $150 million a shot every time. And then what I'm showing you now is the new what's going to happen November 22nd, and it's still not 9 companies across exchanges across the top. They use them on these nothing kind of indices. But what it will be after November 22nd on the indices that most people, the index that most people trade, is Bitstamp at 26%, Coinbase at 44%. That is well represented. That gets them back into balance. Gemini at 6.9%, Itbit at 4%, Kraken at 18%, and Wabi, Poloniex, Bittrex, and Binance, most of all should be there,
yeah.
Is nowhere zero on this. So,
well, they're down there, the lower, under the Ether, Ethereum. in the Ripple.
Yeah, but that's not where you get $150 million liquidated in 8 minutes.
No.
So, all right. Josh, I am sorry you had to be...
That was painful.
Yeah. that technical... We used to call them, we have technical issues at this moment. Back when the Packard Bell was new.
Oh, there you go. You clear them all.
Anything to add to that?
I'd be interested to see what you guys are looking at.
It's actually on the email I sent you if you go all the way to the bottom.
Yeah, it's a nice chart. It's a table.
Yeah, and actually I could have prefaced it with the supposedly 10 legit volume ones are Binance, Bitfinex, Kraken, Bitstamp, Coinbase, Bitflyer, Gemini, ItBit, Bittrex, and Poloniex. No Huobi and no OKCoin or some of those
other ones. Are they still around?
Who knows? I never used them.
They had the clawback.
So, anyway, we've had Crypto Tax Man with us for the better half of the show.
The best half of the show.
And the... whatever this was that came afterwards. Yeah. We thanks, Josh. We'll be talking to you on Wednesday this week.
And thank you, DJ. Again, I can't stop smelling this stuff.
Every day, it
smells good. I have to put some on my knee tonight as I get home.
I think I'm going to put some on my brain.
You're listening to AM 1490, WWPR, Bradenton, Sarasota, Tampa Bay.